Today we look at our country, and many of us with grayer hair, and sometimes I think we may wonder, where are we headed as a nation? What's before us? What are some of the plans that we hear espoused? I mentioned last week about doing a graveside service for a 95-year-old lady who was affectionately known as Grandma Pete, and all the things that she had seen on this earth. And many of us have seen many different things. And for those things, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the...
I remember a teacher that I...
Opportunity. Hang on, Red. It's not your turn. I'm thankful and grateful for everything that we have. And so as I thought about the message, and I was telling someone this morning, I had this done Tuesday, and then Thursday I changed it, to think about, what am I personally grateful for? In the seat back in front of you is probably a pen and a card. And if you want to just jot down some things you're thankful for this day, I would encourage you. But the first thing I'm thankful for and grateful for is a God that cared for me and thought enough of me years ago to give me hope for the future. He cared for me. He loved me. He loved me so much, he sent Jesus. Gave up his son that he might adopt me as his son. Thankful for the heritage that he left us when Jesus walked on the earth. For the message of salvation, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that we might have life and that we might have it more. I love that word more in there. Abundantly. Not just life. Life itself is abundant. But because of Jesus, it can be more abundant. So I'm thankful for God. God must be number one. I'm also thankful and grateful that I was born in America. As we look around the world and we see news reports and we hear of things going on in different countries, I've often thought how easily it could have been that we could have been born somewhere else. Probably no guarantees on where we'll be born. I'm amazed at the people. And this is not a political statement. Don't say it's a political statement because there were people that said it before. But I'm amazed at the people that said if Donald Trump was elected president, I would leave the country. What a stupid thing to say. To give up what we have here for some of the stuff that goes on in other countries. And I know that there are people out there, and you've seen it, that said, well, we survived 8 years of a president or, you know, whoever, and I'm not going to mention we survived 8 years of Obama, or somebody had said we survived 8 years of George Bush, or we survived 8 years of whoever, 4 years of whomever. We survived. Not everybody can say that. And I thought... this week, and I was reading somewhere, Mick Jagger, head man of, Rolling Stone, isn't it? Rolling Stones, comes to America to have heart surgery. Rather than having heart surgery in the socialist country that he lives in. Now, I'm sure that he could flash a pocket full of cash or show him a blank check and write the check, and probably he could have gotten moved to the front of the line, maybe. But in his socialist country, he may still be in line. So there's got to be something about America that's better than everywhere else in the world. I'm thankful and grateful that I was born here. And as I going over my message this morning, I added these words. I'm proud to be an American. And at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave the right to me, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Because there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we can stand and say the pledge to allegiance. I'm thankful that they play the national anthem before sporting events. And I'm thankful for those characters that kneel down because someone has given them freedom. And if it wasn't for everyone else that had done that, they wouldn't have that right. So I'm thankful for the rights that we have. I don't agree with them by any means. And I think they're wrong. And I think they ought to move. And I don't think they should get millions of dollars to do that. But veterans served so they can have that freedom. There's good that goes with bad. The Pledge of Allegiance was originally printed in the magazine called Youth Companion in 1892. The question of its authorship was in dispute for many years, and it was finally resolved in 1939 when authorship was officially attributed to Francis Bellamy, who had been on the staff of the magazine. I want you to watch this video. Some of you may not know who Red Skelton is. But Roger does, because Roger's older than I am. And Earl knows, because Earl's older than Roger and I together. But watch the video.
Well, I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, and he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?
I don't remember exactly when he did that, what the year was, but somewhat prophetic when you think about it. I'm grateful for, get this, I'm grateful for Cindy. We should all be grateful for our spouses. Sometimes we have to be grateful that we had a spouse. If we're widowed. Sometimes in our singleness, we anticipate a spouse and we anticipate that relationship. And God has us in a situation and in a position in our lives at each and every moment of our life for something special, something specific, something unique. And so we should be grateful for the situation that we're in. I'm grateful for the American flag, and you see one here. And grateful for what it stands for, what it represents across the world. Today, there are many of you who were veterans sitting out here that served under that flag and maybe in some situation raised that flag in certain places. And I still look in amazement every time I see the flag raised on Iwo Jima and what it took. And so I did a little research. Iwo Jima, known in English, is one of the Japanese volcano islands and lies south of the Bonin Islands. Together with other islands, they form the Ogasawara Archipelago. The highest point of Iwo Jima is Mount Suribachi at 554 feet high. Although 1,200 kilometers south of the metropolis of Tokyo on the mainland, the island of 8 square miles is administered as part of the Ogasawara Superprefecture of Tokyo. And since July 1944, when the civilian population was forcibly evacuated, has been only populated by military forces. The island was the location of the Battle of Iwo Jima between February 1945 and March 1945. Well, it didn't take us long to take it. The island became globally recognized when Joe Rosenthal, who worked for the Associated Press at the time, published this photograph raising the flag on Iwo Jima, which was photographed on Mount Suribachi. U.S. military occupied Iwo Jima until 1968 when it was returned to Japan. We've all seen the picture. It's an amazing picture. A lot of you may have lived in military towns or been to military towns, and I've been several times to Air Force bases and things like that and actually served and lived on a military base. And it's a very ordered, austere life. You think we have rules here. And they may have relaxed some of the rules by now, but they were pretty strict when I was there. But a military funeral is done very dignified, very, I'm going to use the term reverently, more so than maybe what we might think. And at the end of each one of those services, taps is played, and that American flag, which is draped over a casket, is properly folded and given to the next of kin. And when that flag is folded, it is handed to the next of kin with these words: "On behalf of the President of the United States and the people of a grateful nation, may I present this flag. It's presented as a token of appreciation for your loved one's honorable and faithful service." And I've asked Wayne and Jim if they will come and properly fold the flag. And I'll share with you what each one of those folds mean, because they all have significances. Red Skelton was talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. So the honor guard will pay really meticulous attention to the way they do this, and it is correctly folded 13 times. And it will symbolize the original 13 colonies. So each fold has its own meaning, and I will share that with you. Fold one is a symbol of life. Fold two is a symbol of the belief in eternal life. Fold three is made in honor and remembrance of the veterans departing the ranks. Fold four represents the weaker nature, for as American citizens trusting in God, it is to Him we turn in times of peace. Fold five is a tribute to the country for the words of Stephen Decatur: "Our country, in dealing with other countries, may she always be right, but it is still our country, right or wrong." Fold six is for where people's hearts lie. Fold seven is a tribute to its armed forces, for it is through the armed forces that they protect our country and our flag against all her enemies. Fold eight is a tribute to the one who entered into the valley of the shadow of death, that we may see the light of day. Fold nine is a tribute to womanhood and mothers. Fold ten is a tribute to the Father, for He too has given His sons and daughters for the defense of our country. Fold 11 represents the lower portion of the seal of the King of David and King Solomon, and glorifies in the Hebrew eyes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Fold 12 represents an emblem of eternity and glorifies in the Christian eyes God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And fold 13, or when the flag is completely folded, the stars are in the uttermost position, representing the nation's motto of "In God We Trust." Thank you. I'm thankful for my parents, or I wouldn't be here. I'm grateful for them. I wasn't fortunate enough to have parents that took me to church, but I was fortunate enough to have parents that thought I ought to get there. Does that make sense? So every Sunday morning, I remember back, my dad on summer days would have the top down on our 61 Chevrolet convertible, turquoise, and drive us to Sunday school. I'm sure it was my grandmother's idea. I never remember my parents saying, "I love you." Never remember that. I don't remember it because they never said it. But that's the way they were. I accepted them for who they are and who they were. And I'm thankful for them. I learned a lot. I learned how to say I love you because I never heard it. They taught my brother and I right from wrong. They taught us to be honest in all we do. Don't cheat people. Don't lie to people. If you're going to do something, follow through on it. Don't just say something to somebody and just let it go by. They taught us to work hard. We started to work at 12 years old, delivering newspapers on a bicycle. Do the very best you can do. Be the very best that you can be. Stay strong in the midst of adversity. I never really knew what that was until I really faced adversity. And it's stay strong. Stay out of trouble by avoiding the very appearance of it. Be careful who you hang around with. Watch the influences in your life. Turn the other cheek. And I could go on and on. There's lots of things that we could be thankful for about our parents. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve here. To be part of this church, to be part of God's work here. This church has done some awesome things, and I honestly think that the greatest days are still ahead. I really believe that. Jesus has called us to go forth, and he called us to go forth with these words when he wrote in Mark. He said, afterward he appeared in a different form to two of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. Then he told them, this is the commission that he gave the church. This is the commission that he gave us. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Folks, nothing is going to happen until we do that. Now, there are different ways of doing it. But nothing is going to change until we do that. Same thing is true for us today. It's amazing when we stop and think about being grateful. Only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you. Jesus Christ and the American soldier. One died for our soul, one died for our freedom. Many traditions and ways of doing things that have deep meaning. But hopefully, we will always remember, as I wrote this week, when I sent out this week at Ross, where would we be without the American soldier? Where would we be?